Let me start with prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, as we've come to hear your message, I pray that you will use me as the vessel that you need me to be. Though I am certainly not deserving nor capable on my own, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will visit me and send the message out to your saints. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On the edge. You know, Ray read Acts 28 through 9. If you don't mind, I want to do that again. I'm clicking. I'm going to be patient. Olivia told me. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the window from the third story and was taken up dead. This young man, Eutychus, along with many others, had gathered to listen to Paul speak. Paul was about to leave the area and was never going to come back. They didn't know he was never going to come back, but they knew he was leaving, and they wanted to get as much as they could from this man. Paul had been speaking for a very long time, it speaks in the Bible. And the young man had positioned himself where he was able to get away from the smells of the soot that emanated from the oil lamps that had been burning all night and into the early morning. And still, he wanted to be able to hear what was going on. So he positioned him such where he was out of the elements, but yet he could still hear on the edge. He may have wished to position himself where the cool night's breeze would comfort him as the night grew long. You can imagine the stale air caused by the oil lamps, as well as the room being filled with many people as they gathered to listen to Paul speak. The young man just wanted to put himself in a comfortable position and at the same time still be able to hear this man, Paul, who spoke with great authority. And he spoke about this man, Jesus, and this gospel that this Savior Jesus has brought. Pretty important message. Eutychus, however, had separated himself from the crowd and allowed himself to be on the edge of this group that he was with. Still listening, but allowing himself to succumb to sleep. He has chosen what seems to be more comfortable and easier than being in the middle of the action. And I think that you're going to find that this message is that right there. The young man, in every sense of the word, he's in church. He's in church like you are today, but he was in danger of falling asleep and dying. Eutychus did not anticipate any dangers, or if so, his desire to be comfortable far outweighed those dangers. He did not anticipate falling to his death, but nonetheless, he did. There are many dangers in life. When we look to find that which is easy and comfortable, when we allow ourselves to be on the edge of engagement, when we put ourselves out there to be able to fall from that windowsill, the dangers of not being fully committed, invested, is a danger in and of itself. If we fail to commit or just dabble in our faith, Eutychus in that windowsill is synonymous with him dabbling in his faith. He wasn't in the middle of the action. He's on the edge. Many of us is driven by farms. Going on the highway, you see farms out there, right? If you ever look at the farms, whether it be wheat, corn, vegetables, you know, it always seems to be greener and lusher in the middle of that whatever's growing. And on the outside, on the edges of whatever's growing, there's patchy spots and brown spots. Maybe they didn't get enough water. Maybe it's the heavy traffic of the farm equipment coming around those corners. However, whatever it is, the edges of that whatever is growing isn't near as lush as what you find in the middle of what is growing on that farmer's place. Just like in nature, we see the importance of being inside the pack. Dio, where are you at? There's Dio. No, I'm just picking on you, Dio. But you know what? If you ever watch Nature Channel, you see in Africa, I mean, listen, those hyenas, which I tell you what, I'd rather have a lion after me than a pack of hyenas. Because I think I can handle dealing with one lion, but you never, it's hyenas are just hundreds of them or 20 of them. They're just yapping and picking away at you. And they're picking away at what? The weak ones around the edges. Those are in the center of that group of animals that are being protected. They're protected by the group within themselves. It's the outside outlying animals that are the weakest and the youngest that get devoured. Like the predators in the wild, Satan hunts for those that are on the edge. Every day. He knows from experience that he may have not near the success going right in the middle of those sitting the saints here today. But the ones that are on the edges, he's got a chance because they're not protected by the whole. If you find that you're often thinking of what's going on outside while you're inside worshiping, are you not in danger of falling from that same window that Eutychus fell from? Can I get sleepy in my faith? I say, yes, you can. How can we know that we're on the edge? How can we know that we may be in danger of a terrible fall? Do we invest ourselves in the minimum of our fellowship? Do we engage seldom other than Sabbath worship? Is our life centered around God, or are we making time for Him when we can, when it's convenient? Do we rush out of worship service to get home to do what? When others have stayed behind in preparation for evangelism or visitation with others in the community, yes, things happen. Plans are made. You're going to meet up with other family members, but do you always find a reason not to participate? If so, I ask me why. I'm clicking. Thank you. You know, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, 5, 6. Did it jump? There we go. Thank you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, 6, to test our faith. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified, but I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. If Paul tells us to examine ourselves to be certain that we are part of God's family, that we're following in Jesus' steps, there must be a reason why Paul mentioned this. He mentioned this because we can find ourselves not knowing that we're not committed and invested. You know what? If you look in nature, all the strong animals keep pushing the little ones out in some situations. The weak ones, the old ones, the tired ones kind of get pushed out. Before you know it, You're on the outside edge and didn't even know it. You're not protected. I ask this question of us all. Are we living our life to do the minimum to enter heaven? Or are we living our life to go as far as possible as we enter heaven? Are you waiting for heaven or are you working toward heaven? If you're sitting back and waiting for heaven to come to you, you're asleep in the window. The Bible tells us that there is a storm coming, and those that are truly anchored and rooted in our faith and in God's faith can hope to survive this storm that's coming. Luke chapter 6, 48 through 49. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. If we're only willing to commit the minimum, can we be building our faith on ground that's not strong enough to weather this storm that is coming? What is that rock that Luke is speaking of building our house on? Is that rock not Jesus? Is the rock not the gospel? Jesus in the gospel is the rock. Your house built on this will stand. If you're only willing to understand the minimum of what the Bible has to offer, then are we not in danger of preparing ourselves of not being ready for this upcoming storm? The Ten Commandments were not written on an animal's skin. It would have been a lot easier for them to tote those Ten Commandments around on an animal skin. But what? That animal skin would have withered away. They were written on stones, a tablets of stone. They will last forever. Yes, they're heavy to carry. I don't mind, and I hope you don't mind, carrying that heavy stone. In Hebrews 5, 13, 14, this. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The solid food that the scripture is speaking of is the advanced knowledge of the scriptures. If this is sitting next to your bed, great. But if you don't crack it open, that's just a space taken up next to your bed. If you don't break it open, you've just got milk on your coffee table. You open it up, you've got meat. The solid food the scripture is speaking of is the advanced knowledge. And maturity of the scripture is the proper application of that knowledge. If we're willing to do the minimum, is that preparing you to be able to consume anything more than the easy digest milk? That which a child lives on. How will we be able to distinguish between good and evil if we have the knowledge and maturity of a child? Our children can be bamboozled and confused and be swayed and can be tossed and turned about. That's why as a parent, you watch your children constantly, because there are always those opportunities for some evil to go out there and sway your child. If you don't know what's inside this book, you don't apply yourself and make that effort, you're wide open to being influenced to whatever. Sitting in the window, away from the real action, away from being at the center of the message, not being at the feet of Jesus and his message is discussed in scriptures a number of ways and a number of times to get the importance of this across to us. Can we be too busy with the work of the church and not take time to invest in the worship of the Lord? There will be people that will, there will be individuals that will not share heaven with us, and we won't understand why. They sure seem to be involved with the church. They were busy being busy. Let's look at the story of Mary, Lazarus, and her sister Martha in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 41. There's a big supper taking place. And Jesus is in the house of Martha and Lazarus. And Martha is working very, very hard to provide and care for all these people. She's preparing food for many people that have come to listen to Jesus. It's not just Jesus and his disciples, but those that came to hear. She had a party at her house going on. While Martha is working very hard to accommodate and care for her guest, her sister Mary does what? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha's a bit distracted by this, to say the least. She's very busy with serving, we find in verse 40. Martha is expecting her sister Mary to get up and help her serve. Martha is agitated after a time that she even asks Jesus to tell Mary to get up and help her. The response that Jesus gives Martha is not what she expected. No. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're so worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." Though Jesus sympathizes with Martha, he understands and appreciates where she's coming from, but she has allowed this to distract her from what must be primary and would have brought her peace had she been also at the feet of Jesus. With this said, and I want y'all to hear me, we all need some Marthas in us. All of us need some Marthas in us. Our fellowship needs Marthas. Or we will not have the good potlucks that we have. Or the many events that we share between ourselves. There must be workers to make these events happen. Who's going to coordinate the home care of those in our congregation that needs personal care and enrichment? Who's going to ensure that those that have not been seen for some time get a phone call or a card saying, "We miss you. Please come"? Who's going to spend hours and hours decorating this church when we have a special event? Kiki Tree Tree. For if we always find ourselves as the one being served and not the one serving, that in itself is an issue that we all must deal with. That's not the direction and the guidance that Jesus gave us in the way that he lived his life. The Bible's balance is Jesus helping others, not people helping Jesus. So we need to have some Martha in us. However, can we be so involved with the task of the church and not enough time spent in the fellowship of the church? Fellowship is good. Fellowship is great. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, establishing a very real relationship. The Bible tells us that Jesus had casted out 7 demons from her. Mary was not willing to take a chance to get too far from Jesus because she didn't want to have to go back to where it was. She knew as long as she was at the feet of Jesus, she's good. We're good. You're good and I'm good. As long as we are at the feet of Jesus. And how do we get the feet of Jesus? We know about him. Right here. Okay? No other book. There's all kind of publications we got in this building, and I tell you what, there's not one message that I've ever presented that what didn't come from some of the literature that we would find out in our library. But when it all comes down to it, it's this first and last. How many Christians fail to take the time to listen to Jesus when he's right here? How can we be certain that we know and can hear our master's voice if we fail to put ourselves near enough to hear it? Being on the edge puts too many distractions and obstacles between us and our master. The further we are away, the further out there on the edge, are more things that can come between us and he. We can go to church and learn about Jesus. The pastor can tell us all about the stories of biblical characters and the things that they did and the circumstances and outcomes of them. But sitting in church for 1 hour or a little bit more each week does not prepare us, nor set us up with having the relationship that Jesus desires from us. It takes more to have a relationship with Jesus than just waking up Sabbath morning and investing the hour and 45 minutes to 2.5 hours. Matthew 7:22-23 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you're just here going through the processes, if you're just, okay, check. Okay, I showed up on time. Check. I showed up on time. You know, that's 3 Sabbaths in a row. I can take one off. You know, that's not building a relationship. The Lord wishes to have a personal relationship with you. If you place yourself away from him, away from the middle of the room, possibly sitting in that windowsill, looking out the window, what's happening in the world around you or below, we can miss out what's happening in the room we're in right now. I had to admit, it wasn't 3 years ago, 4 years ago. My job, even though I didn't work Sabbaths, and I may have been the only general manager of a high-end restaurant that didn't have to work on Sabbath. Maybe, well, I know out of 1,000 general managers, I know I was the only one out of 1,000 general managers for this company that didn't work Sabbath. But I have to admit that I'm sitting in church sometimes wondering about what's going to happen at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock tonight when I got to be at work. I know it tore me up. I wasn't in fellowship. I missed out on some good sermons because I'm sitting there thinking, I got a 30 top that's showing up at my restaurant at 5. I hope everybody's doing their job instead of me worrying about Jesus in the house with me. That's why I had to quit that job. I had to quit it. It was terrible. I'm thinking, oh, I know I have you on my side. All right. I'm looking for Acts. Oh, never mind. In Acts verse 10, we pick up the story. Eutychus has fallen to his death, but Paul, well, let me read. Verse 10, but Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him. Eutychus was dead, but now he's not. Paul returns him to his family and loved one. Paul gives Eutychus another opportunity to make different choices in where he's going to locate himself as the message is being shared. What certainty do we have that we'll have 1, 2, 3 choices? Paul's not everywhere's. We have to be cautious and be prepared at all times for our end to come. I'm not willing to take that chance. Scares me. I'm a little bit like Mary. I'm scared to death to get too far away from Jesus because I know what the demons can do to you. I don't want that anymore. I pray that I will listen to that which he desires for me, and I will hear. I will pray that I will have the courage to not only hear it, but move toward him when he calls me. The most dangerous place we can be is at the edge of our worship, at the edge of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. Allow me to tell you a story about coming too comfortable with your surroundings and the dangers that can come with that. A little bit of the children's story is the same premise. That way, I thought they'd enjoy that. In the southwest Germany, bordering France, the forest is known for its dense evergreen forest and its picturesque villages. This is forest, deep forest. There lived a young girl with her parents in a village just inside the forest edge. She grew up on the forest edges and was quite comfortable moving about in the forest and the woods. The parents of the young girl continually reminded her that the forest was danger and always respect those dangers. There were bear in the woods, and at times there were incidences where the bear had caused damage and hurt people. So good parents wanted her to be careful. The young lady enjoyed picking flowers, and she sold them inside this picturesque village. And she'd make bouquets of them. And these flowers were only found inside, deep in the forest, under the shade of the canopy of these great big trees. She would travel further and further inside the forest, looking for more and more of the beautiful flowers. The more she sold, the more flowers she needed. Her parents continually told her to be careful, as the dangers of the forest were real. But the young girl paid little attention. She knew the forest. She grew up there. No one knew that forest better than this little girl. One beautiful day, she sets off to collect some flowers for her bouquets, which she wished to sell in the market. Her search took her deeper this time than ever before inside this forest. The early day turned into a late afternoon. There was not much to show for her efforts. She had traveled so far trying to find these elusive flowers. The young lady saw that the day was getting long and the forest, which was dark, was getting darker. She was confident in her ability to find her way home. She knew the forest. She lived there. That was her home. She had it. As she was preparing to leave, she hears a sound that was not expected. Oso. She hears the rustling of a bear in the area, moving about, still foraging, looking for nuts and berries. This was unexpected. This was not something she had encountered before and had not prepared for. Life does not always present us with those things that we've prepared for. In fact, I will argue that life is a series of events, of obstacles and situations that we daily have to navigate. Our plans seldom work out just as we had expected. We learn that we must depend on the grace of God to help us through life's journeys. The world we live in has dangers everywhere, and we can't be prepared for them all. Do I put myself in unneeded dangers? Do I travel too deep into the woods knowing that that's not the safe place to be? Do I put myself out there on the edge? The young girl, having too much confidence in her own knowledge, is in danger. She's unable to see her way home. There's now danger that's not been foreseen, and the bear now inhabits the same area. In desperation, she climbs a tree. She climbs this tree quietly because she knows this bear. If this bear knows that she's up there, if it has a mind to, he could crawl up there and hurt her or kill her easily. So quietly, she sits up there for many hours, waiting for the bear to go away. She begins to think about the conversations that she had with her parents. She wishes that she had listened and, more importantly, obeyed the advice and warnings of her parents. Many hours have passed. The bear has long since moved on, but the forest is black and she cannot see where to go. She has no idea how to get home. When she hears her father's voice, and she calls out as loud as she can. Moments later, she hears her father's voice a little bit closer. Yes. Though faint, she knows the sound of her father. And her heart races with excitement as she thinks of the safety that her father represents. Eventually, her father finds her in the tree. He calls for her to come down. He has a lantern with him, and he hands this lantern to her. And you know she grabs a hold of this lantern with a death grip. She holds on to that lantern, for the lantern's going to show her the way home. It'll shine a light onto the path that she is to follow to get home. They proceed back home, talking about the day's events, as fathers would do. Let's recap what just took place. But very importantly, the father has a conversation with her, and it goes like this. He tells her, had she gone any further, she would have possibly gone too far in the woods for anyone to have been able to find her ever. Apparently, she had put herself just on the very edge of where her father was going to be able to find her. We can go too far on that edge and not be able to find your way back. This time, the young lady is safe, but what about the next time? Will she be willing to travel deeper in the woods after those flowers that she wishes to sell in the village? I think not. I think that she'll make the bond between herself and her parents stronger, as she has firsthand experienced the dangers of this world being too far from home. Get involved with your church and its members. Commit daily to continue your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus through Bible study and visiting fellow believers. Remove those obstacles in your life that give you reason to be too busy to fellowship. Take stock. Why did you not make it here? Why were you not able to put your name on that list to be part of that team? Evaluate and weigh out, is that really important? Look for reasons that inspire you to desire more knowledge of the Bible study and fellowship that your church has to offer. God is so merciful. His grace abounds. However, can we expect that if we, having had all the blessings of His righteousness and His presence in our lives, and we choose to stay outside of His fellowship, how much more can we expect from God? Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Please hear this. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and to put Him to an open shame. That's pretty heavy. Are you kidding me? That's some heavy stuff right there. Impossible for them to be renewed. Once you've tasted that sweet, sweet taste, once you've had that relationship and you choose to step away, oh, let me close with a story of one of the disciples that fell because he was on the edge. We read in Matthew 26, 31, 35 this. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. We know that story, right? How is it that Peter ended up denying Christ? We see in Mark chapter 14 throughout, Peter following Jesus after he was arrested at a distance on the edge of the crowd. When Jesus went into the judgment hall, Peter remained on the edge and eventually denied knowing Jesus. Oh, how Peter wished he could have taken that back. That tore him up. I think it was just last Sabbath or two Sabbaths ago, the speaker brought up the fact that Jesus made sure and told Mary to tell, be sure and tell Peter. Tell the disciples, but tell Peter. Because he knew how much that hurt Peter, what he did. Peter was out on the edge. By him being on the edge and falling from the distance, the force was just too strong not to deny, which he swore he would not do. Let the Holy Spirit invite you to move out of that windowsill and join God's sons and daughters here in the middle of the action. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit invite you to engage in the service of our Lord. There was a number of people that had a lot to do with making this worship service happen. They were engaged. They received a call and they said yes. They came up here and sang. They played the piano. They printed the bulletins. They greeted you when you came into the door. They taught your Sabbath school classes. They worked your AV booth. There was a lot of people that said yes. Recently, we made some phone calls to people asking them to fill positions that were going to be an inconvenience. It'd be a whole lot easier just to sit home and not be the Sabbath school superintendent. It's a whole lot easier to not be in charge of the audio visual. But they said yes. I'm telling you, it's an honor to say yes. Say yes. Let the Holy Spirit invite you to engage in the service of our Lord. Here in the middle of the action, it may be a bit uncomfortable, a bit smoky with all the lanterns, the noises, but here is where the saints abide in Christ. Here is where the Holy Spirit is working with us to protect us from falling from that windowsill. Let's pray. Father, the message that you've given us, I pray, is so clear. Let it ring in our heart. Let us have a renewness, Father. Send the Holy Spirit to renew our desire and our hunger to fellowship with you. Father, you know how weak we are. You know our faults and our frailties. Father, help us to tell the world that we are not part of this world. That everything that we have around us, all that flashes, all that glimmers, that's not for us. Father, please give us an opportunity again. Forgive us when we've said no. For we ask, Father, now, touch our hearts. Engage us. Allow us to be your children again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.